If you have your device or find the scripture, Psalm 107:1. And they were shredding it today, weren't they? That's awesome. It's good. Tucker, I want a pick slide in there somewhere, okay? All right. 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge given to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I certainly want to be obedient to speak to it. And remind me, Lord, that you look at me differently than anyone else. I'm a teacher of your word. I'm a preacher. On me is a greater judgment, a more strict judgment than anyone today. I know that. I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. In the spirit of Thanksgiving today, Logan has put the songs together to remind us of being thankful. And I'm going to remind you of that as well. We began with Psalm 107:1, but today we're going to be in the book of Colossians most of the day, of the morning. I'm going to begin with Colossians 1:12-14. In these verses, contain a lot of what we've been singing about. If you're keen enough and the fog has not infiltrated you this morning, you're going to figure out what I'm about to bring in these verses really has been contained in these songs. And we're just going to capture that together in being thankful. Let me read these verses to you. It says, give thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sin in him. We begin by giving thanks. What are we giving thanks for? Look at the very first line. It says, he has enabled you. He has enabled you to be a part of this inheritance that he has for us. And to give this a better explanation, he's adopted you. Foster parenting and adoption is sweeping and continue to sweep our church. And I want to thank you for that. Lots and lots of children are involved in foster care. You're giving them safe homes, spiritual homes. And not only that, you've adopted them as your children. So enabled us means that he has adopted us so we could have the inheritance. If you're going to get the inheritance, you've got to be his adopted sons and daughters. And Paul continues this theme all through the New Testament, his writings, especially Romans, where we are adopted into the family. I was born July 13th, 1960, 10 pounds, 7 ounces, room 420, St. Mary's Hospital, Decatur, Illinois. Bouncing baby boy. My mom said I was 3 months old when I was born. That's what about that size. And don't say Illinois either. If you say Illinois, we don't pay any attention to anything else you have to say. Drop the S, okay? It's Illinois. So I was born there, only lived there a little while, but that's my birthplace. And here's what I want to tell you. I want to remind you. From that day on, until I was saved, I lived in rebellion from God. Grew up in a preacher's home, didn't matter. I became an enemy of God. I started living in rebellion against God. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We're born into that sinful nature. That is a reference to Adam's sin. We're born into rebellion. How many of you parents know that you didn't take your kids to a seminar to teach them how to lie, cheat, and steal, right? You understand what I'm saying? All right. Julie has a cookie jar that's looked like a schoolhouse. She has it at her school in her office, and it's got a lid on it, and it's got a bell under it representing the school bell. And it took me until adulthood to figure out how my mom knew I was stealing cookies. It was that darn bell. You know what I'm saying? So I just thought it was part of the decor of a schoolhouse, but that's how mom knew. Mom doesn't have to teach me how to cheat, steal, and lie. Why? Well, we're born into that. We have a nature to rebel. So what does God do? This is beautiful. What does God do? He takes kid, us, who have a nature of rebellion and have become enemies of God. And James uses that word for you are enemies of God. And what does he do? Does he make us his friends? No, he makes us his sons and his daughters. That's a deep love. I was once an enemy of God. What happened to me? Well, God adopted me as his son. So he's enabled us. What are we thankful for? We're thankful that he's adopted us. Children, people of rebellion, he has made us his sons and his daughters. That alone is something to give thanks for, but we don't stop there. Look into the third line. He's rescued us. We give thanks because he's rescued us from a dominion of darkness. He's pulled us out of darkness. We are light. It's his light in us, but then he says, you are light. How do I know to pray? It's wherever I sense darkness going on. I watch the news, yes, for information, but I use the news as a way to pray. Wherever I see darkness going on becomes really a target for our prayers. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. What else are we giving thanks for? He's transferred us into the kingdom of his son, who the son that he loves. Listen, we're in this world, we know it, but we're not of this world. We live in a different set of principles. We don't live in worldly principles. We live in kingdom principles. Let me give you a for example. Last night, Laura came in from Denver. We're not able to see her Christmas, but we were able to see her during Thanksgiving, and we squeezed every bit of time we could with her. She wanted to go to the UK U of L football game, so Daddy made that happen, right? So we're standing in line to go into the game, and there's a guy as close to me and Tyra as we're in line. And he's cussing us out, not for a little while, for a long while. Okay? My wife's here hearing this. My daughter's hearing this. And her friend Aaron is hearing this. Now, a lot of you all know me. You know me, right? And you're going to say, what I'm about to say, you're going to say, that's horrible for a preacher to say. I'm just going to tell you the truth. The old Jeff was raising up. You understand what I'm saying? The old Jeffro before Jesus was resurrecting from the dead. I wanted to clean this guy's clock. I mean, there's a whole part. I mean, I was welling up on the inside. And there are certain levels of cuss words, right? Do y'all have them in degrees? Do y'all know what I'm saying? We in the upper level. All right, this guy is in the upper level. And I mean, wouldn't leave it alone. We're talking quite a while. And I was going, oh boy, the anger that I've had at deacons for all of my life is going to come out. You know? It's going to come out. So what happened there? I'm giving you the fleshy, worldly side of me that you have too, so don't go out there being self-righteous, all right? Don't be so self-righteous. But I live under a different set of principles. I live under kingdom principles. Your pastor wanted to live worldly. And this is how far I got to figuring. Can I be confessional here? I'm going, man, our offering last Sunday was $80,000. At least we got bail money. You know what I'm saying? They'd get me out of jail. Because we were both going. I almost said to him, son, you probably whipped me, but the first 7 minutes, I'm going to be all you got, you know, and all you want. So the guy in front of me, I didn't know him. I looked at him, I said, I don't know if you're a believer or not. But I said, grace, grace, God's grace. I said, I've said it to you, you say it back to me. Because we need it. Why did I say that? Well, we live under a different set of principles. My flesh wanted to do one thing, but the Jesus in me was asking for another thing. Yes. See, so what am I thankful for? I'm thankful that he has transferred me and you from a worldly set of principles to a kingly set of principles. You see what I'm saying? I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. We all have those situations. We all do. But the point is, I had to control myself. I had to ask for help, give the spiritual 911, and realize I live under a different set of principles than what my flesh and the world is asking me to respond to that. Now, did I stare him down? You better bet you. It was a laser stare. Yeah, absolutely I did. And I was telepathy, I was going, if we weren't here, you know? But again, I had to go to a kingly set of principles. What's the kingdom say? What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that last night he made me understand that I had been transferred into the kingdom. That's what we do, transferred into the kingdom. Thankful. What else am I thankful for? That he has redeemed us, redemption. You were for sale, and the enemy was bidding. The world was bidding, that your flesh was bidding, and Jesus gave the highest bid. He's the highest bidder on your life. He bought you back with a very precious price. I'm thankful that he's redeemed me. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that he has forgiven me of my sins. He remembers them no more. They are thrown into the depths of the sea. Far from the east is from the west. God, do you remember that sin a year ago? God says, nope, I don't remember them. Dismissed from your life. Gone. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that he has adopted me. I'm thankful that he's rescued me. I'm thankful that he's transferred me. I'm thankful that he has bought me back, and I am thankful that he has forgiven me. And not for what he's going to do in the future. He has already done this. I can already say thanks for this. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted, which is a farming term, rooted, built up, which is a construction term, in him and established in the faith, meaning we got the foundation built, just as you were taught. What happens? We overflow with thanksgiving. We overflow with gratitude. Maturity in the kingdom is not how old you are. It's not how long you've been a church member. It's not how long. A lot of people say, I've been a church member forever, and they're still on milk. You know what I'm saying? They have not matured in Christ. How can I find a mature, somebody mature in Christ? It's that you're thankful. You're overflowing with thanksgiving. That's what Paul says here. You've received Christ, you walk in Christ, you're rooted, you're built up, we've got the foundation built, we're building the structure, which is your life. And then what is one thing in that verse, those two verses, that determine your maturity in Christ is your ability to be thankful. Maturity is thankfulness. Immaturity is I'm discontented, I am grumbling, I'm whining. Here's the PC. I'm complaint-oriented. You're just unthankful. Immaturity, a sign of immaturity in Christ is not if you're just newly in Christ, it's that you're unthankful. There's no gratitude. It's just complaint. So which one describes you? Are you the grumbling, whining, complaint-oriented, discontented, unthankful one? If it is, then you're immature in Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you're still a baby. If you are an adult, a spiritual adult, mature in Christ, what is one sign I can look for? And that is that we are thankful. And it says not only are we thankful, we're overflowing with thankfulness. The word there means leftover. So in the spirit of thanksgiving and all the leftovers that you've had since Thursday, what is the residue? What is the leftover of our lives that we're thankful people? We are absolutely thankful, thankful people. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 1:5 for a moment. And I love this verse because the sufferings of Christ are not what is that we encounter the most. I want you to look at the balance here. Look at this. For the sufferings of Christ overflow to us. We all have them. grief-stricken situations through the holiday are difficult. We all have suffering. So through Christ, our comfort also overflows. This is what's so beautiful about Jesus. Sufferings don't outdo the comfort. They're there together. So the overflow here is not you suffer more as a believer, but in our suffering, we are just as comforted. He doesn't leave one greater than the other. He balances that out to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:15. It says, indeed, everything is for your benefit so that grace extended through more and more people, here we are influencing people, may cause thanksgiving to increase to God's glory. Thanksgiving and being thankful is on the increase. As you get older, I heard somebody say the other day, they're like, the parents said, we just feel like a taxi service. We just take our kids everywhere. And I said, one day, it's like that old country song, one day you're going to miss that. Julie and I used to rush to see who picked up the kids first, because whoever picked up the kids first got all the information, because they don't say it twice. You know? And we knew whoever picked them up got the story. And you know what I'm saying? Because they're not telling it again. So as you be thankful that you got the taxi service. I remember one time I came home, our kids were little, Laura and Andrew were really small. I'd been at Cosair Children's Hospital in Louisville. And I came home and I just left a little baby that had machines hooked up to it and everything. And I came home and Julie met me at the door, ready to pull her hair out with the kids. And she's like, the kids have been writing, they've been coloring on the wall. Now remember where I've just been, okay? And I'm like, well, what do they need, more crayons? I guarantee you the family that I just left wouldn't care a bit if her kid wrote on the wall. Our goal was never be the house of the month or to be on the Christmas tour. Do you understand what I'm saying? That never was our goal. Never was our goal. So you've got to understand, I'll go get more crayons if they ran out of them. How many more walls we got that they can write on? Maturity in Christ, the picture of that is you are a thankful person. You're thankful. You overflow. You're left over. That thankfulness just drips from you. Colossians 3:15-17. Let the peace of Christ the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, rule or control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the word or the message about Christ the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude or thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. There it is, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We want the peace of Christ to rule. We want the word of God to dwell in us. And we do everything in his name. Work or deed. Do everything. Here's what I've written for me to help me. Thankful people show up, stand out, work hard. Thankful people show up, stand out, work hard. Now, we don't stand out thinking we're above people. Because in the kingdom, remember I told you, he's transferred us into the kingdom. We choose last. Give me a choice as a Christian. What am I supposed to choose? First or last? Last. Choose last. If your goal is to be first in the world, you are not living under a kingdom principle. That's right. Your goal is to be last, unrecognized, unnoticed, but hang on. If you live that way, and the residue or the overflow of our maturity in Christ is thankfulness, you'll stand out. Yes. Let me show you. Yes. Somebody who's on time or early for work stands out more than somebody who shows up late. Yes? Yes? So in believers, in a kingdom principle, we're going to show up, we're going to stand out, we're going to work hard, and we're thankful people. We're thankful people. We choose last, but because we choose last, we're highlighted. We shine. Just like highlighting a line or a word on a page for your reminder, for your eyes to pick up. You're choosing last, but you will be so against the principles of the world that you're going to stand out and shine. You see it? Even though I'm choosing last. The truth of it is, this is where you become deceived. You will stand out more by choosing last than you will by choosing first. It's crazy stuff with Jesus. He says, if you want to lose your life, if you want to find it, you got to lose it. You got to think through that in a moment. So I'm actually going to shine more by choosing last than if I choose first. We have to realize that, understand that principle and how that is all put together. Let the peace of Christ rule, the word of God dwell. Do everything you word or deed, do it for the name of the Lord. Thankful people show up, stand out, work hard, we're highlighted. We end here with Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. We devote to prayer. I told you, you pray, watch the news. It'll help you how to pray. Listen to reports. It'll help you to pray. Just pay attention in your neighborhood, in your community. It'll teach you how to pray. What I look for, I look for darkness. When I find the darkness, what does that alert me to? I need to be praying. So you're going, Jeff, Pastor Jeff, the world's crazy and confused, and I've been praying. What do I need to do? Pray more. Devote yourselves to praying. Take it to him. Listen, God moves out of a desperation of his people. And when we become desperate, you're going to see a lot of things change. But we're not becoming desperate enough to call on him. He repeats with the prophets, tell him to call to me, tell him to call to me, tell him to turn to me, tell him to come to me, over and over and over all the time. Tell him to be able to do that. And then out of desperation, you're going to see God move. So what are you doing? World's crazy. It's scary. Yeah, it is. What do I need to do? I've been praying. Pray more. Devote yourselves to praying. Stay alert means be sober. What does that mean? Pay attention to your life. You be alert here means watch for the traps and the snares. Watch for the setups. Because some of you hear a great business deal, man, you got a goal of being wealthy, you think money is going to solve all your problems, and you're going to run to that, and it could absolutely be a trap. You got to watch it. So stay alert means watch. Watch the traps and the snares. Watch what the enemy is setting up for us. Watch what's going on. Can I be honest about last night? For some reason, that guy kept looking at me. It could have easily been a trap. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was being a little bit facetious on the front end. I'm being really, really serious now. Because as far as I was concerned in my flesh, he needed a whooping. Right? Man, there's a lot of good stuff going on in this church. The last thing you need is me in the headlines. I'm being serious here. Stay alert. I wanted to go to POD. You remember POD, that Christian rock group? Go, is that all you got? Boom, I got you a boom, ready or not. How do you like me now? Is that all you got? You know, you had to be younger to get that one. Older people aren't going to get that one. But, you know, be alert and say, enemy, I saw that. You setting me up? I saw that. I didn't fall for it. Is that all you got? Be alert. Pay attention, because the enemy may set you up. So pay attention to that. Be alert. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be alert. Going, no, that's a trap. That's a snare. That's a downfall. That's a temptation. I need to stay away from those things. And it says, do this with thanksgiving. We ask for a sixth sense of what the enemy has in store for us. And Paul does continue to write, know the schemes of the enemy. Know them. Be on alert to see them. And be sober about it. Pay close attention and then give thanks. I want to I'm going to enter you. You're going to see the professor side of Pastor Jeff here. The word Eucharist means thank you. And everywhere I've been using the word thanks or gratitude today, the Greek word that is used, the root word, is Eucharist. And it's been used in all the thank yous. It means thank you. Within it is a root word that means grace. So when you take communion, we call it communion, the bread and the drink, the body and the blood. We call it the Lord's Supper, call it Holy Communion, or it can also be referred to as participating in the Eucharist. Why do we call the bread and the body participating in the Eucharist? Because all it means is thank you. Because when Jesus did this with the disciples, he said, "This is my body given to you." He broke it and he gave thanks. He took the drink, "This is my blood." Before he passed out, he gave thanks. So when you take communion, or anytime you take communion, but you're participating in the Eucharist. What is the Eucharist? By eating that bread and drinking that drink, you are saying, thank you. Thank you for the body given, the blood shed. So I'm going to invite you to the Eucharist. It is a ceremony. But I'm going to invite you and come and say thank you. What for? He's adopted you. You were a son of rebellion. You were an enemy. He didn't just make you his friend. He made you his sons and his daughters. He's rescued you from darkness. He's transferred you into the kingdom. I live under another set of principles. He has bid the highest for you. Satan was bidding for you. The world was bidding for you. Your flesh was bidding for you. Jesus cast the highest bid. He bought you back. And he's forgiven you. So when you participate in the Eucharist, remember his body given. Remember his blood shed. Give thanks for all that he has done and the sacrifice that he has given. Let's say thank you. Church, would you stand where you are? Counselors, would you find your spot? Logan's going to lead us in this invitation. The invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You've never done that. There are people here to minister to you, with you, and for you. Believers come. But believers, we call you to the table. Let's participate in the Eucharist. Let's say thank you. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.